Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Deck your home with Blinds.com. DIY or let us install. Free design consultation. Plus free samples and free shipping.
Ho, ho, ho! Blinds.com invented a better way to buy custom high-quality window treatments with no showroom markups or waiting around for quotes from pushy salespeople, saving you time and money for the holidays with upfront pricing right on our website.
Go right now to Blinds.com. Satisfaction guaranteed.
Satisfaction guaranteed.
Head to Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase plus a free professional measure. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
Chris Hannon joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That's Born Under a Bad Sign by Memphis and Stax Records, Albert King. If it wasn't for bad luck, I would have no luck at all. That's going out to the Memphis Grizzlies. Injuries are one thing, but the timing is like pretty special lately.
Right.
The moment that the team is cresting in the first half of game 3 against the Thunder, and you're like, this could be a series. At least we're going to win this game. Ja has the injury and whoosh, all the energy leaves the building. The moment that Edie returns and Coward moves into the starting lineup and you have what you think is your best lineup in place on the road against Cleveland and you're off to a good start, you're like, okay, the season begins now. Boom, Morant's out. And now the game before, you think Ja's coming back. He is still on the injured list, by the way. It's questionable, but you think Ja's coming back and you're going to reconstitute this lineup again and let's restart it again. Boom, Edie is out. And it's pretty cruel. The basketball gods, they can be cruel.
And so were they born under a bad sign? Is that your analysis? Is that your diagnosis?
Sure. Bad things happen in this world. This is a fact.
The timing of it is just, I mean, in terms of actual injuries that when you see the report, they hit you emotionally, right? Like, deflating injuries. Category is deflating Grizzlies injuries. The Steven Adams one is maybe the single most. I mean, obviously, any jaw injury is deflating. But I think next to Steven Adams, this is right
there.
The Adams
thing, though, I think one thing that's misremembered about the Adams thing is that the severity of it was a gradual thing. When that injury happened, it was not a he's out for the season. People thought he was coming back.
What
and then
was
he didn't
it?
Come back.
It was pretty
and
devastating.
And then he didn't come back again the next year. When that injury happened, he never came back. He was not declared out for the season when that injury happened. There was a thought he'd be back in time for the playoffs, and it went awry in all kinds of ways. But that was not an immediate, oh my God, this guy's out for the season situation.
That was, though, highly deflating because there were great expectations heading into that season. And I don't know which jaw injury the most deflating. Do you have a candidate for the which jaw injury?
To Chris's point, the game 3 one last year, like I understand, hey, we're just trying to find anything positive. Like it was a great night, and then it's just like, okay, well, we're done here.
You're just trying to muster some enthusiasm.
I don't know whether that one is worse than the torn labrum, because remember he'd had the 25-game suspension, and then he'd come back, and like first game back, I was there in New Orleans. It's the game winner at the buzzer, and they start winning. And I think they were like 7-2 or 6-3 or whatever. And they were still pretty far back in the standings. but he was looking good and they were looking good. And we're like, it's still early in the season. We had a chance to get back into this, and then boom, he's out for the season. That was pretty bad.
We're going to rank Grizzlies' injuries here, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to spend the segment ranking Grizzlies' injuries. The Chandler Parsons injury was, in terms of injuries, but that's
Chandler
not even
Parsons
an injury. It wasn't
when
an injury.
He
it was damaged goods. Yeah. Right. It was just, but in terms of physical maladies that impacted the franchise, that one, it's a whole
different
category.
I think Z-Bo. I mean, the Z-Bo hurting
in
the knee.
In the playoff, yeah.
No. Z-Bo hurting the knee the start of the next season. The 2011, when they had the first playoff run and they made it to Game 7 against the Thunder in year two, he came out of that postseason looking like one of
the best players in the
league, at least at his position. Like, he was like right behind Dirk or whatever. Yeah. It was very Dirk-like in terms of power forward taking over scoring. And then he signs an extension, and he was going into that next season as an all-NBA, step in the playoffs, carry the team kind of guy. And it was like four games into the season. The season was delayed because of the lockout. And then four games into the season, he wrecks his knee. And he really – this is another thing. I'm going to write about this later in the season a little bit, I think. This is another thing I think was a little misremembered. He really was never quite the same again. He got back briefly to an all-star level, and he had some big playoff moments again. But I think that altered the rest of his career in a way that I don't think we recognized at the time.
Took away that.
Remember that season? He was back. He was on the team in the playoffs that year, and it was Rudy was the main guy because he just wasn't himself.
So wait, he was back. I know Rudy was the main guy. That's the series that they lost to the Clippers. Z-Bo played in that series. Is just Rudy was the focus.
Yeah, because Z-Bo wasn't
good.
He wasn't himself. He was back. He was back the next season. You know, when he had the battles with Blake Griffin in the playoffs.
Yep.
But he still wasn't what he'd been in 2011. He never quite got all the way back, really, in a sustained way to what he was in 2011, which was oh my God, this guy's a monster. He can carry you in the playoffs.
If we're going to go notable into Grizzlies injuries, though, Mike Conley's broken face might be the most significant one, right? Like that, who knows what would have happened?
That was the most dramatic. But
it was certainly the most dramatic. But you don't think they would have beaten the Warriors?
I do not believe the theory about that postseason, both was believed by Grizzlies fans and want to think that they could have won that series, and that's believed by outer NBA people who want to think Steve Kerr is a dramatic genius who saved the Warriors. I think the Warriors were always winning that series.
There were two injuries, of course, in that series from the Grizzlies. If we're looking for excuses,
I was going to say, what do we think was
Tony's
actually
injury? Yeah, Tony. We had Tony's injury, and then Mike, who never just was not. Mustered some.
No, the popular theory for the Grizzlies is that, I mean, 2013 is when they got to the conference finals. The popular theory is that 2015 was their best chance to break all the way through. I'm of the opinion that 2011, in retrospect, was their best chance.
Well, I was going to ask, should we include Rudy Gay's injury in 11?
People thought that was
handy. Because they replaced him with Shane Battier, and then they went further in the playoffs than anyone suspected. And so, like, maybe at the moment that it happened. But, like, you know, I think people got over that pretty quick.
We had Jordan Adams' chronic injury. We had Darrell Arthur's injury, obviously. The happy story is Marc Gasol's injury, and maybe applicable to today. You can have a foot injury and make a complete recovery, right? That was
the best. And be a big guy.
Wasn't that the best story?
And there were people who were very convinced that, oh, this is terrible, and this is a snow job, and the franchise is lying to you, and all this stuff. And it was exactly what they said it was, and then it turned out exactly the way it was supposed to. We'll see. I think the CD situation is different from that one, but I think the Marc Gasol thing turned out fine.
Yeah, that was the happy injury story. All right, in terms of this one. It's the same ankle as the procedure, right? Isn't it the same ankle as the procedure?
Yeah, I don't consider this a new injury. I consider this ongoing management of a situation, of the same situation is what my interpretation.
I was under the impression that the procedure that they made, I was a hopeful impression, maybe was that like that was to quote unquote fix it. And so it wouldn't need sort of ongoing management.
Fix seems a little glib to me. I think it was to prevent long term recurrence of sprains at the same frequency. It wasn't to say you've had the surgery, your ankle will never feel sore again. I think we all, myself very much included, I think he was so good so instantly when he came back, we just sort of put it out of mind that, oh, this 7'4", 300-pound dude just had ankle surgery, right? And so I think this is some soreness-related stuff. I don't get the sense, there may have been something, some tweak that exacerbated it, but my sense is not that this was some sudden injury. I think this is like a recurring use stress kind of thing on something that he's coming off surgery for. And I mean, I don't know if this were a playoff series, would he, maybe he'd be playing. I don't know. But I think it's the kind of thing where the whole reason they had the surgery was not quote unquote to fix it, but to give him better long-term career outcomes. And I think them pulling back on this in this moment is part and parcel of the same thing, to think about the long-term career outcomes with him.
It sounds a little more, and again, who knows, right? Whatever. I can buy that. I can, it sounds more like that. It sounds more severe than soreness. You could limit his minutes if it were soreness, or he could miss 3 days. This is 4 weeks, right? Like, I mean, I don't know what a stress reaction is. And I don't know if the internet doctors out there, have you seen the internet doctors? Right. Have you told you what a stress reaction is? Have you seen speculation or informed explanations of stress reactions?
He had mentioned before this that he was having some soreness, and I think something happened that sort of made it worse. You know, maybe something in a game happened that made it worse. But again, I don't think this is an injury. This is not isolated from the surgery recovery. It's not some separate thing that's separate from the surgery recovery and the ongoing management of the ankle from the surgery.
Yeah. Obviously, the gut punch is the immediate gut punch is the timing, and you can't quite believe it that this is happening. What the hell? Like, is this happening? The bigger concern is, this is what you said yesterday, 2 days ago or whenever it was, the Grizzlies literally have two key players at opposite ends of the physical spectrum, but because of the way they are constructed, we worry whether they will ever be available individually or together for an extended period, right? I mean, that's the...
Did I say that on the show yesterday?
You said that, well, I amplified it yesterday or the day before. You did say this.
I feel like deja vu. Maybe that is something I said.
100% said two ends of the physical spectrum, and I've used it since then on Gabe's show. So I know where I steal. When I steal things, I know where I'm stealing from, Chris. But I credited
and
you.
So, No, I mean, I think, you know, the issues are different, but in some ways they horseshoe back around to something similar, I guess. And that, you know, you wonder that's what I really wonder about here. Like, maybe this is like a quote unquote injury that you don't I'm not a doctor. I don't know. But what I wonder about, I think more reasonably, is this going to be a permanent injury management situation? Is it a thing where he sort of gets through all this and then like he's fine? Or is it a thing where you're always watching the minutes, you're always watching? There's always a stretch of a season where like maybe he needs to cool it for a week or two. Maybe there's always a stretch where you're wondering about back-to-backs. Maybe it's always add another piece of data point to the mountain of like it's 82 games too many. I wonder if it's a permanent injury management situation. That's what I would wonder about.
Well, and even that, that can be more or less manageable. Like if when he plays, if you knew you could get whatever 20, you had to get 28 minutes of Zach Edey, he didn't play in back to backs. But during the playoffs, you could live with that. If like with Joel Embiid, now that he plays, he does not Joel Embiid. Right. So you need him to be.
I think that's what they're trying to avoid getting to that point.
Yeah.
And you could be pessimist and say, well, we're already here. Look at it. I don't feel like I know enough to make that kind of assertion. But I think that's part of what they're trying to avoid.
Right.
It's so soon from the surgery itself that I think they're going to be extra cautious with any discomfort he has about it and wanting to try to avoid that kind of situation.
All right. So for the immediate future, it is
this is the real question. This is the real question, because this season is about two things, right? And I've been saying this from the jump. It's about the competitive enterprise within the season, right?
Yep.
What are you trying to do? They've already gotten themselves back to 9. I think they're closer to like 6 than they are to 10 right now, because after Portland losing or about equidistant.
Yep.
So like, you know, you could have dreamed about getting to 6 as much as fear of falling out of the play-in, like with Ja coming back. Like, that was real.
Yep.
So there's the competitive enterprise, which this definitely hurts, you know, maybe significantly. We're about to find out. Then there's the second question of, like, what is your long-term evaluation of your franchise and what are you going to do about it? And I think the hope was that you would have your team together, at least your starting lineup, your team together for some sustained period of time, which A, would let you know where you're at competitively within the season, and B, would help you clarify your direction and decisions you have to make. And it just feels like that's not going to be possible, at least for the trade deadline, in any significant way.
Right. And then it also, I mean, it makes it tougher to evaluate. Like, part of that is how Ja fits when the team looks like what it's supposed to look like, right?
And that's what I mean.
Comes back. He is a liability defensively, and they are so much better defensively when Zach Edey is there. And now you got Jock Landale. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just the entire puzzle looks very different. And so you don't know how even – I don't know. It's just demoralizing.
The question they're going to face is, do we make aggressive decisions at the trade deadline based on much more partial information than we would like to have? Or do we say, we're just going to play this out through the end of the season, whatever happens, happens, and then we'll evaluate it in the summer? And I don't know what the answer to that is, but that's the big question facing them.
When is Brandon Clark supposed to be back?
There's no precise thing on that, but my sense is he'll be the next guy back.
Okay.
And so I think, you know, Ty Jerome's supposed to be sometime in January, and the range of return is wide from, like, early to late.
We'll get Brandon Clark back before we get Zach Edey back.
I do. I'm not saying that as a statement of fact, but that would be my educated guess, yes.
Do you think there's any, in terms of whatever they do at the trade deadline, augmenting the team for this particular competitive enterprise is not a priority, you wouldn't think, right? You wouldn't need to go.
That doesn't seem likely the way things are going.
Right.
No. I mean, I would not have ruled that out if they had, you know, had everybody together and they continued this run and you look up and you're half a game out of six or, like, whatever. I would not have ruled that out, but I don't. It certainly feels less likely.
Well, I got two first round draft picks. Maybe there's a big in there. I mean, maybe if you got two of them, that whatever, who knows? All right. And then, so it'll be today. It'll be Landale back, right? I mean, it's just going to be,
I don't see them making, I mean, the one thing is, I mean, I do think this should put them in position for another hardship exception, another 10-day. They have to wait three games before they can apply for that. Edey and Tanjar have to miss the next three games before that can apply. But once they do, I think they'll both qualify. Pippen will obviously qualify. And I suspect at that point, Jerome will still qualify. So I don't know. Maybe we'll see a return of Charles Bassey or something.
All right. Let's pick one more question from your mailbag while I have you here. Because I don't know if it changes the answer given what just happened. Here was the question from a guy named Matt. Rank these early developments in terms of long-term importance: the Edey leap, Coward's promise, the Suns pick being lower than we had hoped, and the wing depth developing. That's Vince and Aldama and Wells and whatever, all looking credible. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really want to just perform the mailbag, but I'll say I wasn't that interested in, like, ranking all these things.
Uh-huh.
But I did use that as a reason to talk about sort of that draft pick. And I think that the draft pick question is interesting because whatever your reasonable highest hopes are for Edey and Coward, if you think Coward's going to be Kawhi Leonard, that's a separate question. But whatever, like, the reasonable highest hopes are, they don't seem like the kind of guys who are the number one on ball guy for a contending team. They seem like, you know, two-way players who make a big impact, but there's not the guys that you have the ball and, right, you know, they're dominating the ball and you're running your offense through them. And so, like, where is that guy coming from? Well, it could be the guy you have on your team named Ja Morant. The idea of a pick jumping up into the top high in that draft, it became a Darren Peterson or whoever, maybe that player comes out of that. But it's hard to imagine manifesting that player outside of someone who's a very high draft pick, right, which Ja Morant was at number two. And so if you don't think you're going to get that player with that draft pick, does that lead you to have more patience in trying to make it work with John Morant? I don't know the answer to that either, but that's something that I think is well, a real thing to them to chew over.
And to your point, ESPN had a ranking today of the best 25 players under 25. And there's not a Grizzly among them. Now, you can argue you'd rather have Cedric Howard, I guess, than Reed Shepard. Reed Shepard's 25. And but, like, there you go. There is not a, at least at this moment, a right. alpha type of player who's going to carry the Grizzlies into the future, who's some young alpha player, except for the one who's already there, who's making his return tonight, it feels like.
I mean, you know, John Jaren were the guys who were on those lists, and now right. you know, they're 26. So they're not there. And at some point, you cycle out of those lists. The problem with the Grizzlies is that they cycled out of those lists and without – cycling all the way up to be right. a permanent contender, you know.
All right, Chris, appreciate it. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. How about that, right? Here we are on a Friday ranking Grizzlies injuries. All right, we will take a break, come back in a moment. Before then, I will tell you that this will be a great weekend to get to Robert Oman Jewelers. And Robert Oman Jewelers, through Christmas, is open on Sundays. Jeffrey, we're down to fewer than 2 weeks now. Where are you on your shopping?
Jeff, go on.
I have a bunch of online shopping I have to do. I've resolved to do that Sunday. That's the day that I've decided to do that. I am going to get to Robert Irwin Jewelers. I have not yet, but I know exactly what I'm going to get, and I'm going to go to the Robert Irwin Jewelers across from Novel on Perkins Extended. You can go to the one closest to you. But among their top holiday picks over at Robert Irwin Jewelers, oh my God, stuff is so beautiful there. How about this? A stunning 5-carat lab-grown 3-row diamond band for $1,999. Limited time only while supplies last. And it comes with, yes, a free pair of matching diamond stud earrings. That's 5-carat lab-grown 3-row diamond band. Or how about this? 2-carat total weight natural diamond studs, $49.99. Make it a magical Christmas, whatever you are up to, whoever you are celebrating with. And if you're getting engaged, that's the place to go as well. Robert Irwin Jewelers has the meant-to-be guarantee, 365-day, no-questions-asked return policy on custom-designed engagement rings. 5 locations or online at rijewelers.com. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having 4 kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Deck your home with Blinds.com. DIY or let us install. Free design consultation.
Free.
plus free samples and free shipping.
Ho, ho, ho! Blinds.com invented a better way to buy custom high-quality window treatments with no showroom mock-ups or waiting around for quotes from pushy salespeople, saving you time and money for the holidays with upfront pricing right on our website.
Go right now to Blinds.com. Satisfaction guaranteed.
Satisfaction guaranteed.
Head to Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase plus a free professional measure. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. I was getting a text from Jarvis. Appreciate Jarvis listening. He's making the point. He thinks it's a fallacy that Papa John's Stadium was what separated Louisville. This is what he said. Louisville, much like Nashville for the Titans, had to build a new stadium. The old Fairgrounds Stadium next to Freedom Hall was a decrepit abomination. That's why the Redbirds moved to Memphis and the guarantee of a new stadium. Plus, Louisville started investing in football much earlier, hiring some guy named Howard Schnellenberger and improving other facilities and sports. Papa John's Stadium is built next to the old Fairgrounds Stadium site, which is not really any closer than the Sim to Memphis. I certainly agree with that. You can't call that an on-campus stadium.
No.
It's not an on-campus stadium. It's right there near the old one. I think people talk about, well, the fact that they had to build a new stadium doesn't change the fact that they actually did build a new stadium.
I was saying, it's not necessarily the semantics of...
It's a shorthand for investment in a program.
Correct.
Right. Whether it's Howard Schnellenberger, building a stadium, whatever else, they recognized that football was important and invested in football. And in the Memphis scenario, you have Tommy West, you know, I still actually may physically have. I just moved, and so I think I found it. The plan that Tommy used to have in his desk drawer, like for improving the facilities in Memphis, that like he came up with himself, you know? Like, it was appalling. It was one program. So maybe the way to put it is one program valued football early.
What was your story that Tommy just wanted a new carpet as you could hear, like, the nailing down of new hardwood
new
floors?
New hardwood floors in John's office. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. That's tough. And who knows? Would it have we? There are a couple of big what ifs in the history of Memphis sports. The biggest what if is NFL. If Memphis had, and this is accepted as a truth, I wasn't here for it, so I can't vouch for it. But the story is, if Memphis had agreed to build a new stadium, as opposed to just revamp the, hey, you should come to the Liberty Bowl. It'll be good enough. It's big enough. We'll pour money into it.
Revamp. We put that extra thing of suites on the other side.
That's what was our plan. Why I wouldn't have gone to Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And so that is the biggest what if. And again, I wasn't here. I can't vouch for whether the league would have come to Memphis, but for that. But we know they didn't build it, and we know they didn't come. And same thing with this. You can't know for certain that if Memphis had poured money into football, that they had built a new stadium, wherever else, however you want to manifest that, that it would have meant that Memphis would be where Louisville is. But we know that they didn't, and they aren't, right? I mean, those things are both true. Hopefully, they win in basketball tomorrow. Anyway, it would be an absolutely massive win and fun to talk about on Monday. A lot of other things we have to get to. We have barely touched on the NFL at all, except for last night's game. But I did see that the SEC schedule dropped yesterday, Jeffrey. Did you see this?
Yes, of course. They had a fabulous schedule release. I believe it was a two-hour extravaganza.
Nothing like a schedule release party. Lane Kiffin returning to Oxford September 19th. Your thoughts?
Didn't feel coincidental. I mean, I guess in fairness, Neil had told me that Ole Miss was going to open with LSU before it was like official that he was going to LSU. But I mean, that's going to be like normally in the last couple of times that Ole Miss has had the coach leave in, you know, bitter fashion, Ole Miss had to go to Auburn for the first Tuberville game. I guess that's really the only one.
And do we have any sense? Do you have any sense right now? Obviously, everything changes in the offseason, particularly this one with Lane. Do you have any sense of how good Ole Miss will be next year? Are they going to keep the quarterback? And do you have any sense of how?
Well, first, the first question is: will the quarterback be eligible? Because there's a lot of people that will tell you that it is exactly like, I guess maybe DeAndre, where like the clock started. Like there's no argument about whether or not the clock started. And so there's that question. I mean, I think you're 100% right. Is he going to be Ole Miss's quarterback? Is he going to be LSU's quarterback? Is he going to be somebody else's quarterback?
Right.
You know, they hired John David Baker, who was running the offense at East Carolina. So they hired him. Is he going to want something different? You know, I don't really know.
Whose roster do you think is going to be better next year, Ole Miss's or LSU's?
My gut says LSU's.
You would think, right?
I mean, I think the question was this year's whose roster was better. Like, I think there was an argument at times.
Oh, you're going to make LSU's roster was better.
But Ole Miss beat them. Like, now, I think LSU had a flawed roster. Like, I think they had some key high-level guys, but, like, offensive line-wise, I think Ole Miss clearly did a better job putting together an offensive line. Then,
like LSU went out and fixed the problems in the defensive backfield.
Yeah,
then all of a sudden they got problems in the offensive line.
Well, you can't spend money everywhere.
Okay. Here's the other thing that is of interest to me. I was looking at Tennessee's schedule.
All right,
and I was thinking about Heupel. Right, I to me, the notion that Heupel would be on any kind of a hot seat or anything like right now would be crazy. Like that there's unhappiness. He was in the playoff a year ago, right? Do you remember what life was like before Heupel? Like people sometimes with Memphis football, they say, do you remember what life was like, you know, under Larry Porter? Well, that was a whole bunch of coaches ago. That's not really relevant. With Heupel, his immediate predecessors all sucked. Right, right.
Well, and also comparing to Memphis football, then it's like, well, look at Josh Heupel's still playing the same opponents.
Right. And he is and he has elevated the program. There's no question he has elevated the program. I think made a good defensive coordinator hire. I think by and large made a tremendous defensive coordinator hire. It is interesting though, at Penn State, like I was reading comments, at Penn State, they were ripping him. Good riddance. He made a good defense worse. Obviously he was a high profile hire from Ohio State and I didn't watch enough Penn State.
I mean, I guess the UCLA game was bad. Like, there's no – I'm not going to try to spin zone that. But Jim Knowles has a very proven track record of being a very good defensive player.
I think that seems like a significant hire to me. But I can buy that if they have another – I mean, the Vanderbilt loss, being dominated by Vanderbilt, doesn't sit well with people. Right. That does not sit well with people. And that's why – that's one reason there's a new defensive coordinator, right?
Uh-huh.
So, I can buy that another sort of quasi disappointing season will either cause Heupel to bolt or will cause people to start really wondering out loud in the people who matter about Heupel. Right?
I mean, Blake Topmeyer made the case earlier this year before, you know, when Tennessee was still actually like alive, that it would make sense for Heupel to go to Penn State for this very reason.
And certainly, I think another year, and again, the quarterback situation at Tennessee is totally up for grabs, right?
100%. I mean, we don't even know whether or not Aguilar's trying to get a waiver.
And you think even if he does, we don't even want him.
We don't even know if Tennessee still wants him back.
They got a couple of young guys.
They got George McIntyre, then Brandon Faison.
But here, so again, this is crazy because we don't know the roster. We don't know the quarterback, right?
100%.
But indulge me here for a moment.
This is what we do, baby. It's good old schedule talk.
Indulge me. Give me the W's and L's and tell me if Tennessee fans will be happy about it. They're going to open with Furman.
All right, W.
Then they play at Georgia Tech.
W.
Then Kennesaw State.
W.
Okay. Then how about this? This one, this will be interesting. Which orange is better? Texas comes to UT on September 26th.
God, they've been really good at home. I'll say Texas wins.
Okay. One loss. Then Auburn.
Home or away?
Home against Auburn.
Win. That'll be a fun Jedi Master versus Padawan.
That's true. Then you've got at Arkansas.
Win.
All in, baby. Okay, win. So far now, you're 5-1. You're disappointed with the loss to Texas. But what's interesting, of course, about Tennessee is the whole end of the season waltz that they used to have. You know.
Oh yeah, they always remember November. Yeah, because you played Kentucky and Vanderbilt. Right.
Here it gets a little trickier. So we got one loss to Texas. Then you've got Alabama at home.
Okay.
I'll just give you all of them. Ready? And let's see what you. Alabama at home, at South Carolina, Kentucky at home, here's the end. At Texas A&M, LSU at home, at Vandy. So of those, again, we got one loss. Then you're home with Alabama, at South Carolina, home against Kentucky, at A&M, home against LSU, at Vandy. How many losses in that group?
Because we also don't, we have no idea what Vandy's going to be.
No idea. You can't believe Vandy's going to be Vandy. I hate to say this. Unless Pavia somehow gets another year, they're not going to be. I would love it if Pavia and Clark Lee together have elevated Vandy, and Vandy is now no longer the dregs of the SEC. I can't help but think they're going to receive.
Well, here would be the argument, though. So let's say they're going to start the five-star freshman. What if by the end of the year, like, you know, maybe he has a tough start, but by the end of the year, he's starting
to
play.
He's still a freshman.
Yeah.
So is Bryce Underwood, five-star freshman.
The thing I don't like about Tennessee's schedule is the game. Like, there's so many tricky road games. Like, at South Carolina, that's tricky. Like,
at A&M is tricky.
Like,
at Vanderbilt.
Correct. Like, I don't. And at Arkansas. Like,
well, here's the question. Do you think they got four losses next year?
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Deck your home with Blinds.com. DIY or let us install. Free design consultation. Plus free samples and free shipping.
Ho, ho, ho! Blinds.com invented a better way to buy custom high-quality window treatments with no showroom mock-ups or waiting around for quotes from pushy salespeople, saving you time and money for the holidays with upfront pricing right on our website.
Go right now to Blinds.com. Satisfaction guaranteed.
Satisfaction guaranteed.
Head to Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
I think everybody's going to have to probably tack on one more loss because of the 9-game schedule.
But actually, to get the 4 losses, you'd have to have them losing to Alabama, at A&M, and say to LSU, beating Vandy, beating South.
And by the way, Kiffin has to go to Tennessee and Ole Miss next year.
Four losses is going to make people unhappy in Tennessee.
I think everyone in the SEC needs to get used to one extra loss.
Well, that's fine, but you're not in the playoff this year. You're not in the playoff next year. People be coming after Heupel.
I agree with you. I'm not saying it's right, deserved, whatnot, but like, yeah. They're not spending the amount of money that they're spending to go 8-4.
Anything else particularly strike you from this schedule extravaganza?
Maybe this should have been obvious to me, but I'm dumb, so that's fine. It is amazing to me that adding the one extra conference game just felt like it beefed up everybody's schedule.
The schedules are all.
You know what I mean? Like when I started like going through, like ESPN like did them in numerical order, and I was like, man, that's a tough schedule. Like it just feels like just the simply adding of one game just really beefed up everybody's schedule.
All right, we got the Heisman Trophy ceremony. And I've seen a lot of pushback against the Mendoza, you know, the notion that Mendoza should be inevitable. And, you know, I've even seen some straw polls that suggest it's close with Pavia and Mendoza. I still think I feel highly confident it will be Mendoza.
So the only thing that gives me hesitation is they've revamped the voters. Like they've added, I think, better voters than just the old people that basically just watched conference championship week. Right. So I think that there's
and that argues for Pavia because Mendoza is just the obvious headline.
He played the biggest Indiana, game. He had the biggest win.
He's the most important player on the best team in college football.
Correct.
And he had a story there, Indiana and everything else. And so
did not throw for 3,000 yards.
What?
Did not throw for 3,000 yards.
Did not throw for 3,000 yards. So he's the obvious one if that's all you know.
When you look at the Vegas lines, he's a heavy favorite. As though I pointed out on Tuesday, last year, Travis Hunter was a heavy favorite betting-wise, and Jaden Daniels was a heavy favorite the year prior. Now, Vegas is not setting a point spread on this. They're just trying to tell you who the favorite to win is. But both of those contests, when they showed the final voting at the end of the ceremony, everyone kind of left with the same equation or the same conclusion, which was that was close. Like, Jenty was very close to knocking off Travis Hunter, and Michael Penix was very close to knocking off Jaden Daniels.
Do we have a arraignment yet? Have we heard?
I've been hitting refresh on ESPN.com.
Anything. We'll find out about at some point today about Sharon Moore. Okay, and we got an NFL schedule, and as you have pointed out, massive game. Here's the truth. Even if the Bills beat the Pats, the Pats are still going to win the division.
Yeah, I think it would be helpful, though, to have some doubt of, because the Patriots are 11-2. Undeniable. You are what your record says you are. When you start going like line by line, you're like, okay.
Well, plus they're hurt too. Like they're hurt on the offensive line and they're hurt on the defensive line.
I also think that this is a fascinating playoffs because if we're going to have a situation where there's no Lamar, there's no Mahomes, there's no Burrow, Josh is going to have an unbelievable opportunity. Yes, he might have to go on the road on these games, but he's going to be the most experienced.
What's interesting about it is he just doesn't have very good players on his team.
I was listening to a show the other day.
I mean, James Cook is good. Beyond that, who the hell is good? Dalton Kincaid is pretty good if he's not banged up. Like, who is good on that? The offensive line is pretty. The offensive line is good. They have a good offensive line. The defense basically sucks, honestly. So I think, of course I do. I think the Pats will win. The question that they asked on Unsportsmanlike, the show that precedes ours, is would you take New England and Buffalo? You get New England and Buffalo to go to the Super Bowl from the AFC, or you have the field?
I think I would take the field because, honestly.
Why? Who do you like in the field?
So
I could see Houston.
Okay, but while I hate Bo Nix as like a proverbial like winning quarterback at the highest level, I do think we've forgotten how tough going to Mile High in the playoffs is.
Well, and there you have in Denver and Houston, you have deeply flawed offensive football teams.
But holy cow,
defensive football teams, right? And maybe this is a season when you don't have to be good enough on, you know, you don't have to be good on both sides of the ball. You just got to be dominant on one side of the ball and okay on the other.
What if we're
on the other hand? You look at Denver, and so much of that season, so much of they stuffed the Jets. I mean, they've played a lot of bad teams. Like the Commanders put up points on them.
Yep,
they have played when they've played good teams.
You can move the ball.
They actually can move the ball on them. I think.
What's what? Packers-Broncos is a fascinating game.
I think they're more fraudulent than New England, is what I was going to say. I think Packers-Broncos is fascinating.
I think part of the reason why you feel that way is because we think Drake May's good.
Yeah.
And we don't think Bo Nix is.
I think that is probably. Okay, here's another one. How about the Rams and Detroit? Are we going to see Detroit get knocked out too? It is amazing. Like, all the chalk this year. That game is at L.A.
Correct. But it's Goff indoors.
You like Goff indoors.
Now, I just think the Rams are the best team in the NFC. I think the Rams might be the overall best team. I think if you made me today go, you can only pick one team to win the Super Bowl, I think I would take the Rams.
I can see that. I think in most power rankings, you now see the Rams. I'm to the point, tell me, is this dangerous? I'm to the point, so Baltimore plays Cincinnati. And Kansas City plays the Chargers. I am to the point where I am rooting for those teams. I'll be totally happy if those teams win because I kind of think they're dead and I want them to damage their draft picks because they're taking gap years, those teams, right? They're reloading. And I think I'm okay if Baltimore and Kansas City both win this weekend.
I still think I want to see them out. If literally if it's all about the Bills,
you just want to see them out.
Get them out. I understand what you're saying for the draft, but to me it's like if you have a scenario where Josh Allen is in a playoffs with no Mahomes, with no Burrow, with no Lamar,
you know what?
He's going to be the best player.
What irritates me about that discussion though is like,
there's two sides of the ball.
What?
I know that there are two sides of the ball.
No. One of the things that irritates me about that discussion is. He's like, my God, if Josh Allen can't, the opportunity's there for him. If he can't do it this year, he is part of why they are good this year because he has been better than Lamar and he's been better than Mahomes. You know, it's not like just Josh
You're
was
preaching to the choir.
He's Josh the best player in football. Literally, even in an imperfect year where he's turned the ball over more than he did last year, he has been better than Mahomes.
Yes.
And he has been better than Lamar. So it's not like, well, this year he's in the playoffs and they're not. And so he has to take advantage. Like it was gifted to him. He is the reason that the Bills are still in the playoff hunt. And let's be honest, Lamar, first injury, but even after he's back,
mm-hmm.
he has played sufficiently poorly that he's one of the reasons they're not in the playoff hunt.
No,
it wasn't gifted to, you know, oh, he's going to get this without. Because he freaking did what he did last week.
No, I want to be clear. I'm not saying like this is, you know, walk your way to a Super Bowl. But this is as good of a chance as you're going to get. You know what I mean? I mean, I do think there's this weird question now of did the Eagles create a new path where we've spent the last. Really, of the Mahomes era, like if you don't have the dude, it doesn't matter.
Well, or maybe rosters.
Like, I'm saying, if we got into.
Because I don't know, what was Hurts getting paid last year?
He was like in the 40s, but like it was not.
So here's the thing. This is why the Patriots, like, whether it's this year or next year, they're in a tremendous position. Like right now, the Bills and Patriots, whatever. Maybe the Patriots only have a better record than the Bills because they had an easier schedule. Whatever. Or maybe they're better already. This offseason, according to SpotTrack, the Pats have $59 yep. million dollars in cap space. The Bills have $4 million in cap space. This coming offseason, it really is a massive advantage.
Why are the Chiefs worse?
Why
are the Bengals worse?
Yeah, that's the thing. It is hard if you're drafting late and you have all that money wrapped up in a quarterback. It's hard to have a roster. The Pats went out and spent in free agency, and they're going to be able to again this year.
Yep. And can't upgrade more.
Grizz
coach.
tonight, as Ja Morant is going to make his return. We certainly imagine questionable, but we certainly believe that Ja Morant. And then tomorrow you got Memphis versus Louisville, and then we'll be back Monday to talk about it all. What is coming up next?
Jeff, here's what's coming up next on Jason and John Anthony Sane. Parthi Padhyay will join their program today. Blake Topmeyer with DeMichael and I on Jeffrey, with DeMichael and me, I should say, on Jeffrey Wright and Company. David Cobb with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
All right, we got to get out of here. We will be back on Monday. For now, our work is done.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Deck your home with Blinds.com. DIY or let us install. Free design consultation.
Free.
Plus free samples and free shipping.
Ho, ho, ho! Blinds.com invented a better way to buy custom high-quality window treatments with no showroom mock-ups or waiting around for quotes from pushy salespeople, saving you time and money for the holidays with upfront pricing right on our website.
Go right now to Blinds.com. Satisfaction guaranteed.
Satisfaction guaranteed.
Head to Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase plus a free professional measure. Blinds.com.
Blinds.com.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Airo. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.